Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I thank you for joining us and hoping you're having a wonderful day. Right now we're recording on a nice day that's gotten up to 76 degrees, and it's not raining, it's not snowing, it's not freezing. I guess it's a nice day right now. So hopefully we'll have a number of days like this. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Well, welcome everyone. So we're going to head off. I think we're going to head off to international things.
Yes, we're going to talk about Ukraine. And we heard about the conversation between President Trump and
Putin.
Now, what is his title? Is he a president? I don't know.
I think he is.
Anyway,
he's just Putin. He's like Cher.
I think he's a little different, but whatever.
Putin.
Anyway, that's the beginning of what we hope will be peace negotiations. And after President Trump got off the phone with Putin, he got on the phone with Zelensky. So hopefully this is coming together. But I want to mention one of the factors in the war of Ukraine that needs to be talked about.
I want to interrupt just a sec. During that conversation, he thought that Putin promised not to bomb any power stations, and he bombed one.
Oh.
And the Spectator World had an article that said Putin played Trump like a fiddle. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's concerning.
That is concerning. But I want to point out another factor in this war, which is, oddly enough, the price of oil. When President Biden took office, oil was selling at $63 a barrel. And the Biden administration had their energy policies, which resulted in February 22, the price of oil was $107.69 a barrel.
You know what? One time I was at the bank and I had just filled up my car, and it was when gas was over $3 a gallon. That was during Biden. And this couple was walking towards me, and I said, "Man, I would like to have that $1.79 gas again." I said, "That's what you get with a Democrat." And they said, "Like the president can affect the price of oil." And my mouth just dropped open like, "Well, how stupid are you?"
It's a worldwide commodity. And when America stops producing, you have the law of supply and demand.
Exactly.
And the Russian economy is dependent on their oil exports. And if the oil exports do not bring in the income, they have deficit problems, they have the value of the ruble problems, and they have just a bad situation. So when, again, the Biden administration, February 2022, oil was $107.69. Russia could afford financially to invade Ukraine at that point. That's when they invaded Ukraine. Well, oil prices now are roughly $70 a barrel. The Russian economy needs oil at $80 a barrel.
Can you say what caused it to fall to 70?
Well, it's a predicted market. In other words, they look for the prices established going forward. They know that President Trump is energy friendly and is going to drill baby drill. And this is oil futures depending on drill baby drill. And the fact supply and demand, America is going to be adding significantly to the world's oil supply.
And they're reopening that pipeline.
And a new one up in Alaska.
Bring that down from Alaska. Now, remember, that pipeline was shut down, and we were told everybody should go out and learn to code.
Uh-huh.
So that's, I believe, what Trump said
that's
to the
Keystone.
I think that's what Trump said to the USAID folks who go out and learn to talk.
Well, the interesting part, I'm just going to digress a minute. The interesting part of shutting down that pipeline in Alaska was that when it was built, the ecologists were screaming it'll decimate the moose population, all this other thing. After they built it, they found out that the moose were hanging out near the pipeline because it was warmer.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see the melted snow running under the pipeline.
And the moose hanging out because that's where things were growing. And you know
that funny moving liquid won't freeze. That's why we drip our faucets
when it's
gonna
cold.
Freeze
that's
hard.
Right. So anyway, I want to see the war in Ukraine end. I want to see the corruption stop. I think President Trump will deserve some credit, but I think that the price of oil will also deserve some credit for ending that war.
Well, you know, when Trump started it, when he was running for office, he said that he would do something immediately to stop the war. He has taken action. Now, whether it's going to produce anything long term or not, we don't know yet. But he has at least spoken to both sides. He has done that. He's opened negotiations. Now, another thing, you bring up about the oil, Mary, and I think it's critical to understand that the Europeans buying Russian oil is still being permitted.
And they're supporting the Russian war effort.
And that's, I think, the leverage that Trump would have on Putin if Putin does not comply with, moving towards some sort of a permanent peace, that supply out of Russia going to Europe could be restricted. Now, if we're in a position, which we're going to be, to replace it before, with us shutting down our production under Biden, if we shut off the oil going from Russia into Europe, how would Europe survive? They need that oil. So this way we could replace it. So we're in a much better position with Trump's, wanting to expand our oil production to be able to restrict Russia's the oil coming out of Russia.
Europe is sending more money to Russia for oil than they're sending to Ukraine.
And the other part of that is the LNG exports. President Biden halted the LNG exports.
No, he didn't. The auto pen did.
Well, Speaker Johnson brought that up, if you've read that. When Speaker Johnson, who is from Louisiana, where the LNG shipments were going out of, went to President Biden and said, "Why did you halt those shipments?" President Biden said, "I didn't halt those shipments." And Speaker Johnson said, "Yes, you did. You signed the law." And President Biden said, "Oh, no, I didn't halt them. I just asked for a study." So at that point, Speaker Johnson realized that he didn't feel that President Biden was lying to him. He felt like President Biden honestly did not know. Well, with Trump, those LNG shipments that's liquid natural gas, will resume. And again, that makes Europe less dependent on Russian fossil fuel.
And the other thing that troubles me about this negotiation with Putin is if you look at who he is a person who does not really care about how many of the people he's lost. Trump does. Trump is the kind of person who values human life. You can see it in his concern, because when he talks about trying to stop that war, he always brings up the extensive casualties and the impact on the people. And I think that's who he is. Putin, I think Putin's like Hitler. Hitler didn't care how many people he lost in the war, and I don't think Putin cares.
Stalin didn't care
number
either.
Of people, yeah, most of these dictators, they don't care about human life. And I think therein going to be where the problem's going to exist, because I don't think Putin's motivation for stopping the war, it's got to be come down to economics. I heard the other day, the economy in Russia, their inflation rate is 25% to 30%. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were complaining when it was 9-10%. Can imagine what that's doing to the Russian economy. You would think at some point And, you know, the Russian people would begin to experience that pain and want to do something about it. But historically, they go, seem to go along with whatever their dictators
require. Well, also, you've got North Korean troops there now.
I was going to say, don't give Putin too much credit for having endless numbers of young men willing to go fight over there. I mean, that's quite an admission that you have to recruit North Koreans to fight your battle for you.
What else do we have as an international topic right now?
Syria.
Oh, the genocide in Syria is horrendous.
Did anybody see that coming? I think we all did when we knew it was going to be Islamists.
Well, they're creating a Sharia state, and a Sharia state does not allow non-Muslims to live peaceably in it.
Did you see the article where they were burning the forest to burn out the people that were hiding in them?
Oh.
The forests were on fire so they could burn them out of there. That kind of determination to kill you en masse is scary.
That's what we saw during World War II, where they herded the Jews into the temple and then burned the temple. But this is what happens when you appoint an al-Qaeda person as the head of a country.
They didn't appoint him. He took over the country.
Well,
he overthrew Assad.
But this is what happens when al-Qaeda is in charge. Not good things.
I'm not sure how many Christians have been decapitated now. But
the thing about it is that, you know, you compare it with what Hitler did with the Holocaust. And I agree. I mean, what Hitler did was really, obviously, historically horrific, yes. But I think the difference was in what's happening in Syria. I think the Shiites, or if that's the group that's behind this, these Muslims, they all buy into doing this. This is not, in the course of the Holocaust with Hitler, that was Hitler's idea. And his small group they actually implemented it. And most of the German people didn't know that that was occurring. The German people were not part of the group that was going out and killing Jews. But what we're seeing in Syria, and that's what I think makes the Muslims so scary, is that it's not just one or two leaders that if you remove the leaders, you're going to stop these problems of them being and want to kill Christians. It's what they believe as a group, as a people.
It's in their holy book.
Absolutely.
And they've done a really good job of confusing the issue for the world. Islam is a religion of peace, my foot. And that it's aimed at killing children of the book, the Jews and the Christians, which means they're coming for us. Yep. And so you see ridiculous things like queers for Hamas, queers for Palestine, please.
Does not compute, you know.
First the Saturday people, then the Sunday people.
Folks, we're going to take an early break, and we will be right back. We'll probably continue on international things, but again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thanks for staying with us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I'm glad we could you could hear from our sponsors. And now we're going to stay on the international front for a while, I guess. What, Hamas, is that our next?
The ceasefire in Israel has failed, and the attacks on Gaza have resumed. And Netanyahu has stated, and I believe he's right in saying this, we will no longer negotiate except under fire, because Hamas has not proven to be a, what's the word?
Faithful
negotiator, thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Well, apparently, Israel had given up like 1,800 prisoners for the 50 that had been released, and here they were dragging their feet on releasing any
There's
more.
There's one so. More American. Mm. Apparently, they don't take Trump that seriously.
No, they don't take
them. If I were Hamas, I would have at least given up the American before I broke the ceasefire.
Well, you have to give Netanyahu the credit that he tried. I don't think he believed personally believed that Hamas would be faithful to any sort of negotiated peace, because I believe he thinks, like I think most reasonable people, the Hamas is not going to give up until they're annihilated. They are not going to voluntarily leave Gaza and give up their control of that area unless they're forced to. So they're fighting for their survival, and they're using the hostages as leverage. And it's like when they announced this shooting the other day, when Israel reinstated their attacks on Gaza. What happened? It was there were thousands of Israelis protesting against Netanyahu. They didn't want him to do that because they think it's going to jeopardize the lives of the hostages.
Well,
and it might, but I don't know how you survive with a country next to you that wants to annihilate your total existence giving in to them.
Never talk about righteously about a two-state solution.
Yes.
No, Hamas wants a one-state solution.
Yes.
Without Israel. And again, probably half the hostages are alive, if that many. And I don't think, I hate to say it, but I don't think you ever gain anything by negotiating with terrorists.
Well, that's the case. Historically, it's always been that way. And unfortunately, I really feel bad for the relatives of the hostages. And I feel bad for the hostages that may still be alive. We don't know how many. Well, but, the only way to look at it is when you're dealing with some group that did the atrocities that Hamas did to the Israeli people. When those hostages were taken, you just have to assume that they're dead. That you can't allow them to be used to destroy your country. And that's what Hamas has been doing, because that encourages them to do it again and again, as long as they can. They take more hostages. You give in. You know, you negotiate with them. They survive. They come back again. That's what's been happening.
Well, they cut off, I believe, a lot of the supply chains to Hamas. I don't think they've cut off them all. I think they're still finding ways to get weapons smuggled to them. But you have to look at Iran, who was the source of this, and who is also the source of what's going on with the Houthis. Now, I don't know if we sunk. I know we destroyed an Iranian spy ship recently.
I think it was sunk. I heard that it was sunk.
Which is very interesting because I believe we're getting close to a strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. And Israel has already taken down Iran's air defenses. Now we took out a spy ship. I think that's very interesting, particularly with everything going on.
Yeah, I heard the other day that the International Nuclear Energy Group that was supposedly monitoring what Iran's been doing with enriching their uranium said that they have not been reporting what they're doing, and they're much further advanced towards having a bomb than they've been able to actually determine. So it's much further. It's worse than we thought it was. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, that Middle East is over because you're going to have Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, all with nuclear weapons, and they start, and they're already cahoots with Iran now. Isn't Iran supplying like drones and some other things?
Well, North Korea supplied a lot of technology to Iran. I mean, they're all working together.
But I think Iran cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon, period.
Do you think Iran knows that if they drop a nuke on Israel that it destroys their own country? There is such a thing as fallout.
Do you think they care?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
I think they have a desire for self-preservation. It's cooked into the human.
It would be nice to think that, but look at Hamas. What did Hamas do? Did Hamas think that when they attacked Israel, they weren't going to suffer repercussions?
Well,
but they did it anyway.
When Hamas attacked Israel, the understanding was supposed to be Hezbollah was supposed to attack from the north at the same time, and Israel was not going to survive to have repercussions. So they never thought that they would be in the mess that they're in now.
But I think they also are under the understanding that in Hamas, if their own civilians are gone, those are just more martyrs. They're not civilian casualties. That's a whole different Eastern mindset versus a Western mindset.
And you know, the Muslims believe if you die for your faith, which you get that credit if you're killing Christians or non-Muslims.
The men do.
You go to heaven, you get all these rewards, including these
72 virgins.
Now it's up 72? Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
Beer. You get beer, too.
Well, the beer's a good idea.
The women don't get anything.
Now also, I think President Trump decided to wake up Iran by taking a number of shots at the Houthis. I think didn't he?
Yes.
They published eight pictures of persons that were no longer a problem to.
And we're just getting started.
And we're just
because they're not bright enough to stop firing on our ships.
And that's again just what we were just saying. Do they really care about the consequences of what they do? And if you're dealing with people who don't care about the consequences, it's a much different situation. But the other thing that Trump is doing, when Biden was in office, his strategy against the Houthis, who were actually controlling the traffic, the sea lane traffic right through the Red Sea, and they're making the ships go around Africa. But their Biden's strategy was they would shoot at the weapons being sent to them. In other words, if you look at it like arrows, okay, Biden's strategy was to shoot the arrows down. You shoot an arrow at me, I've got a defense, I'll shoot the arrow down. I'll shoot down the missiles, I'll shoot down the drones. But Trump's strategy, He wants to kill the people who are launching them. He wants to kill the archers. He wants to kill where it's starting from.
Especially the one that makes the decision, yes.
Yeah, and that's the difference.
Get to the root of the problem.
Exactly.
Okay. So where do we want to go next? I think, have we exhausted the...
We've internationaled.
Okay. So we want to come down to, well, let's go to the judges.
Yeah,
let's talk about judges.
Yeah. Do they have anything to say, or do they only give nebulous opinions?
Well, they're not even nebulous. They're thou shalt not.
Thou shalt not.
You can't, let's see, new one, you can't get the transgenders out of the military. You can't get rid of U.S. aid. We've got another judge that said you've got to pay the money and you got to put the people back.
You can't get rid of illegal alien criminals.
Can't fly them out of the country under the Alien Enemies Act. Let's see, what else? We've got the Clinton judge that said they got to hire all the probationary people that they fired. And they're looking at something like 200,000, or is it 20,000?
I don't know.
Whichever. It's a lot.
I don't know, but I do know in that vein, I believe Trump has specifically said that Musk does not fire anyone. Musk recommends to the various heads that they should take action.
I know, but the judges don't
understand.
Accept it that way.
No.
They accept the allegation that Musk is the one firing and making these decisions. This transgender one, you know, as a veteran, I'm glad I wasn't in the military when there were transgenders or out gays, okay? Just to say that. But the judge that ruled that Hegseth can't get rid of the transgenders, number one, she's gay herself. Number two, she's given thousands of dollars to Democrats. Number three, in her decision, she said that the transgender block is not based on science, that there are not just two genders.
Well, that's not science. Okay.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned, Pat, about the judge's actions. I think they reported some numbers with the last couple of days. It's like I think Trump has had 64 judges decide against what he's doing. Let's call it an injunction, I guess, for lack of a better term. So he's had 64, and I think in the last 50 or 100 years, there's been maybe like 30-something. Biden had maybe two or three against him. So what's happening here is an overwhelming effort by these leftist judges to stop Trump's agenda. And it's not just Trump's agenda, it's the people's agenda. And here's the threat to our country. The people voted that they wanted these things done. Trump comes in office and starts doing it, and the leftist judges, they come in and they start using these various decisions that they come up with to stop it.
The federal rules allow judge shopping, forum shopping. So you can go sue him from Seattle for something that he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, find you a judge in Seattle, find you one in Maryland, find you one in Rhode Island.
And does the judge even have to give a basis for his ruling, a constitutional basis?
Yeah, they give basis. But the only people that can say that your basis stinks is the Court of Appeals. And, you know, the business about Roberts do your job, we'll talk about this more after the break, is that he said you shouldn't impeach judges, seek to impeach judges. That's what the appeal system is for. But the appeal system is not working.
It's not working, and it's a very, very slow process. There is no speedy justice. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Thank you. What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Pat, you wanted to keep us on the judge track.
Well, what I was explaining during the break is that the appeals process is not working because a lot of these judges are giving TROs, temporary restraining orders, which are not appealable. So the appeals process can't work. They're specifically doing it that way so they can't appeal it. And they're making these orders.
So it's delaying the whole process of the executive branch.
Well, so the point with Roberts, I mean, he should have kept his mouth shut when he objected to Trump's statement that we should impeach Judge Boasberg because, Mr. Roberts, if you had done your job, we wouldn't be in this situation. You had an opportunity to address nationwide injunctions. You had an opportunity to address this. You had four Supreme Court justices that are stunned that you didn't do it. And the rest of us are pretty stunned as well. I mean, these judges, the one with the transgender stuff, when she puts in her opinion that there's more than two...
More than two genders?
Genders that is... that. The science is that there's more than two genders, which is obviously wrong on a number of bases.
Now, Pat, you also mentioned the Judge Beaufort, I guess it was.
Boasberg.
He has a history of something going back to...
FISA.
Yeah.
The FISA
Judge
court.
Judge Boasberg is one of the swamp rats, for sure. When this goes back to Trump's first term... when the Mary McCord, who was a lawyer in the Department of Justice, she asked for a FISA warrant to surveil Donald Trump's entire team while he was running for election. That's obviously a political matter. And she had a sketchy basis for asking for it. They hung it on the fact that Trump's team had talked to Carter Page. Carter Page was a CIA asset that was over in Russia, and they knew he was a CIA asset, but they didn't put that in the FISA. They just said he's over there talking to Russia, so therefore there's a Russian connection to Trump. And there was no Woods file. When you get one of these FISA warrants, there has to be something called Woods File, and that was something that was done much earlier to try to address irregularities with FISA warrants. So there was none. The court granted it anyway. Boasberg, then, when there was some dispute about what the FISA court was doing, Roberts put Boasberg in charge of it. Boasberg, then, when the IG came in and was investigating that whole thing, Boasberg put Mary McCord, who's the one who got the phony warrant, he put her in charge of overseeing the IG that was investigating.
Investigating her phony warrant.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the kind of thing Judge Boasberg engages in. And then, of course, let's see, his wife has started an abortion clinic, and his daughter advocates, she belongs to an NGO that advocates for illegal aliens and no borders. So the guy definitely has conflicts of interest, which he didn't proclaim. And it doesn't surprise me, knowing this background on Judge Boasberg, that Judge Roberts spoke up for him.
Well, you know, it appears to me that if the Founding Fathers would be totally dismayed if they knew what was going on with the judiciary in this country now. The judiciary is way out of control, in my opinion. They're being used. There's people being planted as judges that have that rule based on their personal and political principles, and that's not what judges are supposed to do. I would assume that judges take an oath that they will make their decisions based on facts and on the law, not on what their political belief is or what their gender transformation is or whatever it is. But, you know, it seems to me that we got a situation where you have the executive and you have the highest power in the executive branch, which is the president. Where does he get that power? It's not given to him lifetime. It's given to him by the people. The whole foundation of this country is the power is in the hands of the people. Okay. So now you have a judiciary branch that has supposedly some equal power and some power to influence what's going on in the country. But you don't have the head of the judiciary deciding whether the head of the executive is doing the right thing. You have these underlings, these people at these lower level functionaries who are doing it, and then you have the Supreme Court, like Robert, in this case Roberts, he's fine with it. I mean, he's not challenging those judges. He's not taking this whole idea that a single judge in a certain district can control, can offset the president. That's what we've got. We got one, the single judges overriding the president. And there's no way you can operate a country that way.
It's
and this has got to stop.
It's jaw-dropping, isn't it, Alan?
It is. It's so frustrating, and I don't, you know, if you look at this image of, like, just the Statue of Justice, you know, where they have the lady that's blindfolded and she's holding the scales and so on. The blindfolded means that the people, I assume, are not making decisions based on their own personal beliefs or principles. They're being objective, and we don't have that. And It's got to get corrected somehow.
The politics move to wherever there's an opening, just like water seeks its own level. Judges used not to be so ideological, at least not on the bench. But as our government has become more polarized, the judicial nominees are chosen for their ideology.
Because they are
far left.
Far
the Democrats are picking far left. And that's who you get. So when you notice, when you read these stories, it tells you the Clinton judge said you got to hire back all the probationary people, and the Obama judge said you have to do this, and the Biden judge said you have to do that, because once you know who appointed them, then you know how they're going to rule.
Yeah.
And that's not the way the judicial branch is supposed to work. It's supposed to be blind justice, as Alan just said.
The other aspect of that is that, well, first of all, our founding fathers had a very different political spectrum than we do. their political spectrum on one end had tyranny and the other end had anarchy. And they tried to find something in the middle. We have a, quote, left-to-right political spectrum. And the center of our political spectrum has moved considerably left from where it used to be. It didn't used to be considered, for instance, far right to think that there are only two genders. It didn't used to be considered unusual to want to keep boys out of girls' high school locker rooms. I mean, these are considered far-right issues now. They used to be center.
Common sense.
Well,
they used to be biblical.
Yeah.
God made two genders, period.
Another far-right issue now is keeping criminals in jail. I mean, that has become a far-right stance, is that criminals need to be sent to jail rather than...
Well, it's become a red state, blue state issue.
Yeah, and rather than just turning them around in the court and sending them back out on the street faster than the police can make it out onto the street.
Right.
The police spend more time doing the paperwork for no apparent purpose.
It is somewhat reassuring if you look at how the polls are responding to what these way out leftist Democrats are doing. I think the most recent poll said that what, 27-30% of the people?
27%
approve of what the Democratic Party's doing?
Yeah.
That is overwhelming. It's never been that low. So the people are getting it. The people realize this. The problem is, do we have so many of these mechanisms in place that the left can use to tie things up with no way of dealing with it effectively? And I think at some point, I mean, Biden did this, and what I mean by this is he just ignored what the court said. The court came out and said that he did not have the authority to grant a reprieve or to forgive student loans. Okay, it came out and went to the Supreme Court. They ruled against it. He just ignored it and did it anyway.
And
bragged about it. Maybe it's time. And Trump's not there yet. Yeah, I do give him the credit for trying to deal with it legally. But if it makes it ineffective and if it continues to where the people who voted for these things to save the country or restore the country can't get it done, Trump's going to have to ignore the courts.
Well,
that's
if he does
where it's
that,
gonna
we're
go.
Going through impeachment again. He's only got, a two-person majority in the House where the impeachment starts, and he's only got a couple of senators in the Senate to keep him in office.
Now, you know, folks, I'm gonna break in for just one second. CCTA, the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, is a 501c3 organization. We are a nonpartisan organization. I know you hear what we're talking about, but we are a constitutional organization. And what we are pointing out is things that have not aligned with the Constitution, with our founding documents and our founding set of laws. The gripe that we've got is we're not trying to pick on a party, but we're picking on the positions of the folks in that party. I just want to be
clear. That's a slim distinction there, Bob.
Very slim
Bravo.
Distinction. Okay. We're going to pick on them, yes.
And unfortunately, the Democratic Party, which I assume at some point that they have people who believe in the traditions of this country and want the country to continue to be a constitutional republic, but then you have these other people that are truly leftists, they're socialists, they're communists, like AOC and some of these other people. They're becoming more vocal, and they seem to be controlling the direction that the party's going. So it's not anti-democratic party, it's anti the extremists in the party.
Extremism,
what
yes.
We're having to deal with or what we're responding to.
Well, and the prominence of them is only reinforced by the culture.
Yes, it is. The culture or the lack of education in much of the culture. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thanks for staying with us.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you for staying with us. Again, we're ready to roll again. Alan, you got a couple of local things?
Yeah, the quickest one, I'll start off with the short one first. It's important, but it's one of our local representatives, Keith Kidwell, has been really an advocate for what's called constitutional carry. And what that basically means is the Constitution guarantees that you can carry a firearm concealed or not concealed, and you don't have to go through any sort of training or approval by the government to do so, which is the case now. In North Carolina, to get a concealed carry permit, you have to go through training, and you have to notify or be approved by the sheriff's office and so on. And the bill that he's been advocating for the last couple of sessions would remove that requirement. And my understanding, as you said, Bob, that it's been approved by the Senate. Is that correct?
By the Senate.
And then going to the House?
Yeah, okay. To go over to the House.
So that looks like it's going to go through.
Okay.
So.
You had another one, Alan. On.
Yeah, the second one has to do with something that I think is very important to everyone, and that is the process of reversing some of this extreme green energy policies that have been in place. Started at the federal level and was incorporated by Governor Cooper and the Democrats with the help of some of the Republicans. I'll admit that they were part of this too. And specifically, they came up with a mandate in, I believe it was 2021. It was a law in 2021 that required all of the producers of electrical energy in North Carolina, which I think Duke Energy is the primary source, that they had to achieve a 70% reduction in the emission of CO2, carbon dioxide, by the year 2030. Because now that's 5 years from now, okay. And Duke Energy, they had a group, part of it was an independent group. They came in and assessed the impact if that was kept in place. And what they found that between now and 2030, it would cost the taxpayers in the state of North Carolina over $13 billion by increasing their energy costs and their energy bills and so on in order to achieve that goal. So Senate in this session has passed a bill that would revoke that mandate. So therefore, if that bill has been through the Senate, if it gets goes to the House and gets approved. Of course, Governor Stein will probably veto it. So where it'll go wind up, we don't know, but at least it's a move in the right direction, which would try to get us out from under these totally unrealistic and destructive green energy policies. So that's good news. I hope they're able to get it through the House and override Stein's veto, because he'll veto it for sure.
Okay, Pat, you wanted to bring us up to date on
Fannygate.
Our favorite topic, yes.
Dun, dun, dun. Fannygate. Yes. As a reminder to those of you that aren't as obsessed with this as I am, Fannie Willis is the district attorney in Atlanta that brought the RICO case against Trump and 14 other defendants. And she was dating the guy that she had put in charge of the RICO effort. And eventually, it was found to be impropriety rising to a conflict of interest. So she's been removed from the case. However, Miss Willis is a very ambitious individual, and apparently she doesn't think that the laws for the little people apply to her. So the last Fannygate was the money that she was ordered to pay Judicial Watch for failing to apply or comply with the Open Records Act. They were asking for documents that passed between her office and Jack Smith and the White House. Now she's been ordered to pay $54,000 in attorney's fees to the attorney, Ashley Merchant, who was the attorney representing the defendant, Michael Roman. She's the attorney that found out about Fannie and this Nathan Wade. She's the one that found out and raised the issue. And Ashley had asked for some other documents. Apparently, Fannie had engaged a company that would keep track of her public profile so she could tell how much positive press she was getting, and kind of like a clipping service, it sounds like. Well, Ashley, as part of her discovery, asked for those documents, and Fannie refused to turn them over. They're considered an open records. And so she's been ordered to pay $54,000 in attorney's fees to Ashley Merchant. So Fannie just keeps losing.
And who the real losers are, the people in Atlanta. It's so unfortunate that in spite of all these things that she obviously did that were not legitimate and above board and correct and so on, she gets reelected.
By a landslide.
So, you see these cities and you think, well, they're having all these problems, and then they bring it on themselves. They keep electing people who are not interested in doing the right thing. They're just interested in themselves and how they can advance themselves, and this is what they get. So I guess you could look at it and say they're getting what they deserve, but it's unfortunate.
Well, on a related note, speaking of black female district attorneys that are going after Trump, Letitia James, who's the attorney general in New York, is the one that brought that real estate case that's trying to bankrupt Trump. And here's an article asking the question, is she guilty of mortgage fraud? She bought an apartment building, and she claims it's a four-family building. The certificate of occupancy says it's a five-family building. Well, she bought it on an adjustable rate mortgage when the mortgage rate was going up to 10.2. She asked for a HAMP loan, housing assistance, mortgage plan, something like that, which is a federal loan. And HAMP is only for four families and below. All right. She got a HAMP loan. She claimed she had a financial problem. She couldn't make her mortgage payments.
A hardship, yes.
Yes, even though there's no evidence of the hardship in her documents. She got a 2.7% mortgage rate from HAMP. The certificate of occupancy still says five families.
Wow.
Since it's a federal loan, I'm hoping that somebody tells Pam Bondi to get over and look at this, because it couldn't happen to a nicer person.
That's right. Mary, you've got something you want to add.
This is disturbing. In New Jersey, there's a survey being handed to parents of newborn babies. It's a questionnaire, and it's put out by Inspira Health. And the first question is, what sex was your baby assigned at birth? Not what sex your baby is, what sex were they assigned? And then, do you identify your baby as female, male, transgender female, transgender male, genderqueer, or additional gender category? Which of the following describes your baby? Lesbian or gay, straight or homosexual, bisexual, self-described, please specify. This is a new level of ridiculousness.
There's no block for other?
No, there's no block for other. This is, I understand.
To be determined or
the need, you know, to keep statistics on newborn babies. But your baby is not assigned a gender. The doctor takes one look at it and remarks on the obvious. This is just total insanity.
I know. I watched a little video today of dog rescue. They rescued a mother and her six puppies, and they were pulling the puppies out one at a time and looking at them going, yeah, this is a little boy, and this is a little girl. It's kind of the same way we do with babies, human babies.
and somehow they don't understand that.
Well, Trump simplified the situation when he was given his address to Congress, and he said, you are what God made you. So you're either a male or a female, and that's it.
That's right.
You know, I know that we're going to wrap up the show with an announcement about our upcoming meeting. But first off, I want to say some things that happened this week. First off, I'm going to say Schumer blinked. Okay. That means that we got the continuing resolution through because Schumer decided that he needed to vote for it. So now there's chaos in the Democrat Party between him and AOC. AOC thinks that she's going to be able to take over the leadership.
Well,
there.
That's okay, because he went on The View and had the Harridans there beat on him.
Okay. And then another thing was a Brown University professor was deported because she was supporting radical or
Hezbollah
terrorists. JFK's pages were released, and we have the folks coming back from the space station who had been stranded up there. This is the tour, the 8-day tour that became
9 months.
Yeah. Folks, I'm going to ask you to join us with the CCTA business and social meeting at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. We're going to meet March 27th, Thursday. That's this. It'll be this upcoming Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Join us for an enjoyable meal there, an enjoyable time, and just hopefully we can bring you up to speed on a few things that are happening around the state, the county, and whatever we need to discuss. And we really, really would appreciate your coming out and again enjoying time with us. We want to see you there.
It's the 27th.
The 27th?
Yes.
March 27th. Did I say something different? No.
I don't think you said the date. You said the third, fourth,
I said Thursday. Okay, the third.
I get confused.
Yeah, the Thursday. Yeah. Again, CCTA.
March 27th.
Mark the date.
Moore's Barbecue on
630.
MLK, New Bern. Okay, 6:30.
And I just want to remind you folks, too, that if you get the county compass, and if you don't, I would encourage you to do so, CCTA does have a page every week that covers information that we think is important and conservative ideas and things that hopefully you'll find useful. Well, the only other thing I heard the other day, that China was having a real problem with bird flu, or at least they're threatening that. But and of course, we're in this country, we've been killing thousands and thousands of chickens. And the strategy is, well, we can control this virus by killing off all these things, which really never but where did avian flu start? Where else but China.
Yeah. So on that note, we're going to end the show. Thanks for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.